It's a very challenging area of the Great Commission, but God is doing wonderful things among them. And by God's grace, the family of Jesus, the family of the Lord, is growing among Muslims. And right now, in several areas of the Islamic world, brothers and sisters in Christ that were cleansed by the blood of Jesus are celebrating His name in that area. So I'm so glad of what the Lord is doing in among Arabs and in the Muslim world. As usual, I want to apologize beforehand. I know that I always do this, but this is, you know, a psychological tool that I use in order to feel me well when I destroy your language. It's just something that really helps me. So please forgive me, forgive my Antonio Banderas accent. So, during the last few years, things have been changing and maybe growing in our work. Our main passion is still the Arab world. That is our main area of responsibility. North Africa, Middle East, and Arabian Peninsula. This is where we are working. And we have been working not just as pioneer missionaries or workers, but now serving alongside with the emerging church among them. So we are working side by side. If one of these days, maybe somebody in the authorities of any country of the Arab world explore internet and hear one service at Grace Bible Church and they prohibit my entrance in a particular country, we have the certainty that there's already a community of believers pushing the Great Commission forward among them. So it's critical to be working with them. This is what happened in Costa Rica. I'm Costa Rican by birth, you know, heart of the world, the Switzerland of Latin America. I say this with humility. So, but this is what happened among us. We were receiving missionaries for more than 100 years, but it was clear someday that the time for Costa Ricans had come to lead the church. So, all of this goes in concordance with the passage that we are going to explore today in Acts 20. And we don't have the chance to explore the whole verses, but we are going to be reading from verse 17 till verse 28. And you can read the rest of the passage at home. It's a beautiful passage. So Paul is closing his third missionary journey. He was already working in Macedonia. You know, the first fields of Europe in Macedonia, Philippi and Thessaloniki were the first European churches. And he was exploring the rest of the area. And seems like Paul converted Ephesus and Corinth into missionary bases. And this is important. In the mind of the apostle, the church should be always in movement. In Paul's mind, he had a mission, but he understood that the whole body of Christ has a mission, and that mission is to declare to the nation the mercies of God. And that has a direct application to us here in the U.S. or in Spain or wherever we are. We are here in mission. Not just the missionaries, maybe like me, living overseas. The whole Church of Jesus Christ is in mission, wherever we are. And he understood that. Wherever Paul was preaching the gospel, it seemed that he was appointing leaders or elders and planting churches in every corner of the Roman Empire. So we are here by the end of his missionary journeys. And that was the beginning of the end of his ministry. And I have to say, I I am in love with these sections of the Bible that picturize Paul summarizing his life. And you can explore this during the last few chapters of the book of Acts. And by the end of the letter of Romans, I'm here in this chapter. So he did summaries of how he understood his life and what the Lord has called him to do. So now, with this in mind, so Paul was maybe two or three chapters before in Ephesus, the whole scandal of greater is Diana of Ephesus, and the whole thing happening in that city, and hundreds of people coming to the Lord and burning their books of magic and arts in that city, and the whole challenges that he was facing. It was there in Ephesus that he decided to finish his third missionary journey. A city, Ephesus is a city where he spent at least 3 years of hard work. So let's read together now. He's going back to Jerusalem. He decided to not go to Ephesus, and he's stopping by in the port of Miletus. How do you pronounce it? Who knows? Miletus. So then, verse 17. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they, the elders, arrived, he said to them, "You know how I live. The whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house." You know, they are gathered in Miletus. He's on his way back to Jerusalem. He called the elders, the leaders of the church of Ephesus, please come. And now he said, he shared his first summary. And let me debrief for you what he's saying. He's saying, "Hey guys, you know how I live. You know how I have spent my energy. You know what I have modeled before you. You know that everywhere I've been preaching the gospel. You know my sufferings. You know my trials. You know who I am. You know me. You know how I live." And that has been in my mind now for months. So at the end of his career, little by little, it's going to be more adventure for Paul. But in this point, he's traveling back to Jerusalem. He already knows that it's going to be hard. And he's summarizing his life. And he can tell to the believers and elders of that church, "Do you know how I live the gospel? My convictions?" And I've been repeating myself that question. I want to share with you that question. How are we living? Are we living with the kingdom in mind, or with the how do you say in English, the world things before us? Oh, there's nothing wrong about belongings and material things. I enjoy it. Actually, it's very fun for my wife and me to come to the U.S. and go shopping. But he's telling them, "I've been modeling my faith before you. I've been living with Muslims. And they have opinions, wrong or not wrong, about the Christian faith. But sometimes one of the biggest obstacles that we have with Muslims is that our ideas and preachings are different than our way of life, our morals. Do you understand what I mean? Seems like there's a divorce, and you can tell, well, they are so violent, and you know, they are the bad guys of the world, because this is what everybody believes about Muslims once in a while. Maybe you don't, but the rest of the 8 billion inhabitants of the world believe it. But they have, there's some truth in their appreciations. And how the Christian faith, how the believers in Jesus are modeling our convictions about the kingdom of God. So, and that's my first question to me and to us. I am making my faith visible to others. He said that he was in public places. Maybe not every one of us is going to be in a corner saying something, but every one of us have been settled in a place in Boise, the beautiful Boise, where we have different interactions with locals or internationals. And we have now a wonderful chance to express trust and peace and hope in times of uncertainty. We are living very difficult times, my friends. Times of uncertainty. And we, the people of God, are the ones who needs to stay firm in our faith in Jesus and believe, even if everything tremble, my eyes are fixed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of fear and misunderstanding and polarizations and bitterness in our societies. May the Lord help us to model a different thing. Amen. So, secondly, if we keep reading, it says, and now, compile verse 22, by the Spirit I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. So, he's telling them, you just know how I live, but you know my obedience and my sufferings. It is not just about living our faith out. It's about obedience to the commands of the Lord, and understand that trials and sufferings are a normal thing in the Christian life. Not suffering. I'm sorry for my English. I am shouting in Spanish. But suffering is normative in the Christian life in some regards. Different levels in different countries. I clearly understand that. That suffering is not equal for everybody. But trials are. Rejection is part of the journey. And if now our societies in the West are rejecting the truth of the gospel in this so-called post-Christian world, there's no reasons to be surprise, it's happening. And we have to be lovely responding to their questions. Suffering is normative. The church of the Lord is suffering in many corners of the world. It's normal. So I remember once talking with friends in Morocco with my good friend Abdelatif. And we were having a wonderful couscous. Do you know what a couscous is? If you don't know, you have been losing a good thing in your life. So, and then we were with a wonderful couscous, and I was asking Abdel, how do you do with the new believers leaving behind Islam and embracing a faith in Jesus Christ? And then he said, Alan, it's going to sound quite rare to you, but give me a minute. What we are praying with the new believers is that God help us to face the three baptisms. And I thought, I hope that is going to be ending well. And then he said, we are asking God that our people leaving behind Islam will be ready for the water baptism, because baptism at the end of the day is a public demonstration of your faith. And in the Muslim world, that means everything. Secondly, we are praying that they might be fulfilled by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he told me, I am not talking right now about charanga in the name of Jesus. I am talking of being fulfilled by the power of the Lord, and according with Acts 1:8, we might be witness of his gospel till the ends of the world. This is what we are asking for our new believers. And lastly, he said, Abdelatif, I am asking God for the police baptism. And I said, what do you mean? And then he was laughing. And then he said, when I'm saying police baptism, I am talking of suffering baptism. You know, we live frozen expecting that something is going to happen to us because we are believers. And then we've been telling, dear Lord, just give us whatever you have for us in terms of suffering as fast as possible. And I said, why? Because as soon as we know what is suffering, we overcome the fear factor and we become ready to share the gospel with our neighbors in our city, in southern Morocco. So, and then he said, I don't enjoy suffering, but I hope to be going through this as fast as we can, and then we will be more bold in order to share the good news. And I was amazed of his commitment. And that is happening in the North Africa region. They want to be ready for this. And Paul, in this text, is saying, I know that difficulty things are coming, but I've been compelled by the Holy Spirit to keep moving forward. I know that there's going to be problems and trials, but the Holy Spirit is telling me, keep moving, no matter what happens. So, and then it says, verse 25, now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent, or other versions say I am free of the blood of any of you. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. So you know my legacy. I am completely free of the blood of any one of you. Because I've been very clear about the message. I've been telling you what you need to hear. I am free of you. That I am praying, my dear friends. I am not an expert. I am not make any opinion about what is going on here, because I really don't know. But I know globally that the church is wrestling everywhere right now about this, about preaching or not preaching, being nice or not being nice, being misunderstood or being misunderstood. We don't want to offend anybody. Then we are going to be careful with choosing our words. And I'm not saying that we have to be, stupid, saying whatever word might come to our minds. But the New Testament is clear that he has called us to be his witness with our lives, our words, and our deeds everywhere. And Paul is telling them, my beloved elders of the church of Ephesus, I have declared to you everything you were needing to hear. I am free of your blood. So, then you know how I live. You know my obedience and sufferings. And you know my legacy. So I want to I want to share with you on these terms about how are we living the story of one lady of my country. Because she has been portraying to me this kind of life and a person that surrendered everything, no matter the context where we are. This is not just for missionaries, it's for every believer, no matter where we are. In 1995, when I was younger than now, we were, my wife and I and a group of guys, we were on our 25s. And we got the news that maybe Costa Ricans, Latin Americans, or the so-called Global South Church could be part of the missionary force. My beautiful wife grew up in a Baptist church with Pastor Bill. And nobody in Latin America named Bill. So, and then when Patricia turned 15 years old, she was totally convinced, if you want to be a missionary, you have to be American. It's obvious. So, but then we discover in the Bible that God was calling us to be witness in our neighborhoods, in our nation, in our continent, and globally, because the Lamb of God deserves worship from every single nation on earth. And that was a discovery to us. And we were in a radio station saying, we Costa Ricans are ready to go. We have no idea where we go, but we have to go. And we want to go to the Muslim world. So, and we were sharing in this radio station, Faro del Caribe in San Jose, Costa Rica, 100 years of service in my country. And then we were sharing about missions. And the program right after of our presentation was a counseling program led by a lady named Evinia. Evinia Sanchez, she was close to 60 years old. And she was hearing the program, and she was hearing these two stupid young fellows talking about the Muslim world. When we finished our presentation and she was coming to her program, she told us, I need to talk with you right afterwards. So we were waiting her program. She did a wonderful job, and then she came to us and told us, I want to go. Where do you need missionaries? And shame on me, I said, excuse me, ma'am, how old are you? And then she told me, that's not your problem, young fellow. So that was close to 60 years old. And then she said, I want to go. And inside of me, I thought, this is not going to be possible. So she took the whole training. In 1996, Evinia Sanchez departed to Mali, West Africa, in order to be serving among the Kasonke and Soninke people in the villages of Kurukula and Takotala. Do you want to repeat the name of the villages? So, and then she went there. A couple of years later, I traveled with my pastor. I was so young, and we were visiting a group of Central Americans living in Mali, from Honduras, Nicaragua, and Costa Rica. Doña Evinia, or Evinia, was there. We were bringing our suitcases full of tortillas and rice and beans. And then we got there in the middle of the desert. We flew to Spain, from Spain to Senegal, from Senegal to Mali. We took a train 16 hours north. Then somebody was expecting us at the train station, and we were driving 3 hours. And finally, we got to Kurukula and Takotala. And that was Evinia and the whole team. That was the time of the VHS. Do you remember the VHS to see? And our church recorded a service, and one of the leaders of the worship team was Aviniah's son. And then before the worship, he said, "Mom, I hope that you are going to see this service. And I am, this song is for the Lord Jesus Christ, but I want to tell you, we were there in the middle of the desert with an engine putting the TV in a shack in the middle of nowhere." And then I still remember the whole thing. That was the engine in order to see the service. And then Avinia's son said, "This worship is for, excuse me, it's for the Lord." I've been talking too much these days, as usual. So, but Mom, worshiping Jesus, but thinking in you. And then the presence of the Lord there in the middle of nowhere, in a Muslim village, northern Mali, that was recorded in my mind, 1997. And then Patricia and I began a different ministry, and we lost track of Doña Eugenia. So, last year, right after the whole pandemic, my current mission told me, "Alan, I know that you are the Arab World Director, and West Africa is out of your scope. But sadly, our director passed away because COVID. Our brother Rene Mbongo. COVID took his life very fast. And we need some extra help. And because I have nothing to do, I took his position." I travel, next picture. I traveled to West Africa. And then I was with these African brothers in Mali, in the city of Bamako. And we were talking about how Muslims are responding to the gospel in the midst of terrorism, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, ISIS, Al-Shabaab, terrorist groups in the country, but they are coming to the kingdom of God. And we were talking about discipleship, Bible teaching, planting churches. So, the point is that I saw a Brazilian flag in one of their houses. And I said, "Excuse me, guys, have you been serving in any way with Latin Americans?" And they said, "Yes, absolutely, from Brazil, from Mexico." And then they said, "From Costa Rica as well." You know, between us, Costa Rica is not the Switzerland of Latin America. I have to tell the truth. Nobody knows where my country is. So, and then they said Costa Rica. I was amazed. And they said, actually, the young fellows in the picture, they told me, "When we were so young, during the 90s, we finally, we were discipled by a lady from Costa Rica. Her name is Avinia. And we call her Mama Avinia. And God used her to change our lives." Do you know where Mama Avinia is living now? I was in shock, my friends. I didn't see Mama Avinia in maybe more than 20 years. So, and they, here I am, here I was, with these African leaders dreaming to reach out Muslims, giving the best of their lives in the name of Jesus, and they began to talk about Mama Avinia, the very same lady that 20 years ago I said, "How old are you, excuse me?" So, and then I told them, I promised I'm going to be seeking where she is. Then I flew back to Senegal in order to come back to my country. And I was with another colleague who is leading a wonderful ministry in Senegal. And I said, "Hilbert, do you know where is Doña Avinia?" And then he said, "Do you know that Avinia lives in our campus, in our ministry? They have a Bible Institute somewhere in West Africa for former Muslims that now are leading churches." And then I said, may I see Avinia, please?" And they built a small house, and I found Doña Avinia. 20-something years later, with 100 stories of health problems, language learning, the rejection and persecution of Muslims, And that lady at the radio station in San Jose, Costa Rica, was more promising than I thought. And God used this lady to change the lives of several leaders in Mali and in Senegal. And now, in God's providence, in my new role, I have to be working with the Vineyard disciples. So I'm working with these guys. And every time that we could, we talk about Mama Evinia. So let's pray thinking and how we are living. You know, Paul is telling them, do you know my life? Do you know my behavior before you? Do you know what I was teaching? Do you know the risk that I've been taking for the gospel? This is my life. In Romans 15, he said, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Jesus from Jerusalem to Illyricum. I have, he said, the priestly duty to preach the name of the Lord among the Gentiles. This is who I am. This is how I live. And let's think about our acts of obedience. So we are in a very nice context. But am I, Alan, following God's indications to me? Every one of us is surrounded by people that don't know Jesus yet. And that is a truth in the U.S. and that is truth in West Africa or the Arab world where I live. Am I responding with acts of obedience? And let me just be closing saying, what's going to be my legacy? So, just quoting Paul again from Romans, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Jesus from Jerusalem to Illyricum. That's why I've been not able to go to Rome. So, but now that I'm ready, I'm going to take my retired fund. I'm going to live in Cancun, Mexico. No, he say, no, now I'm going to Spain. To the ends of the earth, because I have to keep going for the glory of the Lord. Keep going. So, let's close. Let me read this fast. I'm going to close. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them, the elders, and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. So they embraced Paul as an act of gratitude for his obedience, for his legacy, and for his way of life. So hopefully this is an invitation to me. And to us, I have no idea where God is going to deploy you, if I may use that word. But wherever he calls us to be, how we are going to be living, how we are going to be responding, how we are going to be modeling, how we are going to be obeying, hopefully we are going to bring a lot of worship to his name. And let's pray for Evinia. Evinia is still in Senegal. He's still there. Discipling the people that God is bringing to her. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this wonderful church. Help me to understand how I am using my health and my energy and my life in order to bring joy to your name, to bring worship to your name. Let me live the fullest for the glory of or your name. I pray that you might help us to be obedient and to follow you wherever our contexts are in order to be modeling the principles and values of the kingdom. And dear Lord, help us to leave our own legacy. Sizes are not important here. What is important is to follow you. Let us leave a legacy with our neighbors and in our nation. Help us to be agents of peace and reconciliation in the whole world for the glory of your kingdom, bringing salvation in your name, because there's no other name under heaven from which we can be saved. Just Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Muchas gracias. God bless you.